Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, another 3 years have passed, and we get to read once again Luke 12, verse 32. We should read it all kinds of times in between. Fear not, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Are there things that normally we should fear? All around us? Things happening? Violence, illness, troubles in our lives, conflicts. The world seems to be a mess. If we were in this on our own, boy, should we be afraid. Many years ago, Pastor Fred Campbell's wife, June, came up to me and said, "Do you know how many fear nots are in the Bible?" I've shared this with you before, so you should know the answer to this. She thought that was really, really cool, because it's one for every day of the year. Why is there one for every day of the year? Well, because there's so many things to be afraid of. And Jesus knows this. He knows that the world is a mess. And so it's like Jesus saying, fear not. Oh, tomorrow? Fear not. Oh, the next day? Fear not. Oh, the next day? Fear not. And so he goes with us day by day by day saying, fear not. Fear not, little flock. Why should we not fear? And here comes the heart and the core of the whole thing. For your Father, pause there, your Father. And Christianity is unique, because when we go to pray, we do not bow before God and say something like, "Oh, awesome and wrathful God who is full of anger at all my sins, I beg and plead with you." We don't do that. How did Jesus teach us to start our prayers? By saying two words, "Our Father." And we would not know this, and we would not have this if it were not for Jesus, who comes along and in his teaching of who God is, teaches us to say, Father. And one of the reasons why we should have feared is because way back at the beginning of our human race, we, all of us gathered into Adam and Eve, all of us, decided not to listen to God or think of him as Father, but trotted off to follow someone else. Would you like a piece of fruit? It'll cost you. Big time. Right? That was the theme way back when. And they took the fruit, because they were listening to somebody else, because they walked away from the relationship with God as their Father. That's why Jesus had to come into the world, to bring that relationship back to us, to bring us back into being children of God. Comes into this world and teaches us to say Father and teaches us to pray, Our Father. And there's this verse. Fear not, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. There are other verses. The Father himself loves you. And you'll remember this one, teaching about God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Apostle Paul tags along following Jesus in that. And he says, he who gave up his own son, how will he not along with him freely give us all things? Fear not, little flock, for your Father. And it's not insignificant that it is Easter morning, outside the tomb, Jesus talking to Mary Magdalene, that he tells her, go and say to my brothers, I ascend to my Father and your Father. That's like our adoption papers. Jesus pulls them out and signs his name to them, signs our name on it, and says, now you're children of God. It's bought with a price, but now you are children of God. Go to your Father whenever you need to. So fear not, little flock, for your Father has chosen. And then this word. I've got a row of different translations on my shelf. New American Standard Bible uses the word. For your Father has chosen gladly. And when you look at the words there, yes, they are digging into something that is right in those words. But they've brought it out in an emotion and a feeling word. So God the Father did not choose reluctantly to give you the kingdom. He did not choose to give you the kingdom because he said, oh, I've got too few angels. I'm gonna have to supplement the number. It wasn't anything like that. He has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Out of all of the things that God the Father could be doing, and there is a whole lot of them, the thing that he loves to do the most is to give the kingdom. That's it. And how much does he gladly love to give you the kingdom? How do you measure that? I keep reminding you about that verse in Zephaniah 3:17 about Jesus. He will exult over you with loud singing. But there is, at the end of the letter of Jude, that's at the tail end of the New Testament, it doesn't have chapter divisions because there's only one. At the end of the letter of Jude, it says, he will present you before his presence with great rejoicing. And you're following along, thinking about that. He will present you before his presence with great rejoicing. And you're thinking, oh, that's Jesus again. Mm-mm. Because the next phrase is, through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is rejoicing and singing with loud singing matches the emotion and feeling of God the Father. Now, all too often, people think about, well, Jesus is the nice one, and God the Father is angry at the sins, and Jesus wins forgiveness for us, but not quite. Whose idea was it to send Jesus into the world to bring our salvation? It was God the Father's. And when exactly was it that your Father has chosen gladly to give you the... When did that choice happen? And you go back and back and back and earlier and earlier and earlier. When did God the Father choose gladly to give you the kingdom? It was before he began anything. Before he starts creation, and he knows even then he's going to form Adam and Eve, and they're going to wander off and wander into sin, but he's going to give the kingdom. Right in the face of all of the things that could happen, he's going to give the kingdom. He is determined to give the kingdom to us. He has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. All around us, we see things that challenge that belief. Terrible things happen in life. There is heartbreak. There are problems. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, you look inside. And the kingdom should be given to me? It's a good thing it didn't depend on me. So in the face of all of that, Jesus says, fear not. And fear not, and fear not, and one for every day of the year. Fear not. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Yes, you sinned, but he sent Jesus and chose gladly to give you the kingdom. Yes, your faith is weak, but he sent Jesus to gladly give you the kingdom. And yes, the world is full of problems, but God the Father is, right in the face of all of those problems, gladly giving you the kingdom. Conversation before the service this morning. What's wrong with people? With all of the things that are happening. And all too often, we do it ourselves too. We look at what our eyes see, what our ears hear, what's on the television. And we don't hear the words of God gladly giving us the kingdom. There are other verses in our readings for today to highlight. The Old Testament, Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. And the epistle lesson, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because God gives his promises and he will not let those promises go. And as often as something rises up to challenge the promise that he has made, he has the answer. And the answer is what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that act of salvation and that act of forgiveness and that act of giving us life, of giving us the kingdom, quietly continues on. There's a quote from, I think it's C.S. Lewis. He was talking about the church, but it applies. This thing, this promise, this is an anvil that has worn out many a hammer. Yeah, that works. And then there's a couple of twists coming along. After Jesus says this, he says, well then, what do? You live like the kingdom is given to you. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide for yourselves money bags that do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the first of the twists. Because if we are not having to be afraid of everything that comes along, well, it's all different now. And then one more very sweet little twist. Those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. I love this one. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. Oh, nobody does that. The master serving the servants? Nobody does that, but this is the kingdom of God, where the Father gladly gives you the kingdom, where there is a rejoicing about it. Celebrate and dance and whoop and holler. No, not you, God. That's the measure of exactly how gladly. Rejoice so much that have the servants sit at the table and come up and serve them. Oh, that would never happen. When would we ever see that? How about next Sunday? What happens next Sunday? At the table. And the master comes to serve the servants with great rejoicing and giving them such a meal. The one meal that is for all eternity. His body, his blood, given for you, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, and gladly giving you the kingdom. And that's the character of our God. In Jesus' name, amen.